Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Between the Cavs continuing to roll, and in between all of that, the Guardians have decided to make a trade. College football is roaring in between there, so there's one person that's worth having the conversation with, and it's always a lot of fun to have him. He is the best friend of the show and a general good man all the way around. He's former Indians pitcher, current Rays television analyst, Brian Anderson. What's up, BA? Merry Christmas, bud.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year rolling up here pretty quickly. So, yeah, it's that time of year. I just cannot believe, on a side note, just how quickly this offseason is going. You know, our season ended because the Rays did not make the playoffs. The season for us ended on September the 29th, and here we are closing in on the first of the year, because once that calendar hits January, then it's all of a sudden how many days till pitchers and catchers report, and here we go.
So I got a theory on this, buddy, and you're either going to think I'm nuts. Well, you already think I'm nuts, but you'll think I'm even more nuts, or will completely shake your head at this. I think what happened this year is typically Thanksgiving hits, and there's usually like a week in between of November into the very beginning of December, and I feel like with how late Thanksgiving was, it kind of cranked everything into overdrive, because I feel the exact same way, and that's the only thought that I have from it.
Well, here's the thing. That theory was floated to me yesterday.
Really?
At the gym, we got into this discussion, and one of my dear friends at the gym said you realize this year Thanksgiving fell so late, you didn't have that week bump before you got into December. And I'm like, that's it. That is the answer. Because you did not, I felt like I did not catch my breath. I mean, we had Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden we had Christmas. And that 1 week, I think, makes a huge difference, or whatever it is, 4, 5, 6 days, whatever it turns out to be. I think that that is absolutely the answer. That makes perfect sense to me.
It's the only one that I can point to.
And I was going to say, maybe the fact that it makes perfect sense to me and you're talking about it, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I'm on board with you.
May have to go check your own sanity after that one. Yeah. All right, buddy. So the Guards made a trade. A trade that upset a whole bunch of people when they went and dealt Josh Naylor to the Arizona Diamondbacks for a compensatory pick. And that'll be like right in the 70s, somewhere in that area in the MLB draft. And a right-handed pitcher who hasn't exactly lit the world on fire when he's been at the major league level, and kind of feels like a, hey, you're just going to have to trust the pitching factory type of trade that's being made there. B.A., I've been kicking around forever. How does a guy who hit 31 bombs last season have that little trade value in the modern game?
That's a wonderful question. I mean, that really is a wonderful question, because it seems that a lot of teams are looking for offense. I know that the Rays are one of them. I mean, you wish you had a guy. And Brandon Lau is the type of player that if he could stay healthy, he is a 30-plus home run guy. And any team would scramble like crazy to get that. So that is really interesting to me. I know that organizations like Cleveland, again, we talk about this all the time, like Cleveland, like Tampa, they prioritize and they value those extra draft picks so much because it just continues to feed their farm system, and they're very good at who they draft, when they draft them. And to your point about the pitching factory, I think that that's what you got to put your faith in, is because Cleveland knows what they're doing in developing pitchers. So they see something that this young man has that they feel like, you know what, his strengths are not being, not prioritized is not the right word, but they're not being, you know, made full. And the weaknesses, we feel like we can shore them up. And so they look, the Rays do the same thing. They'll look at an attribute of a pitch from a guy and be like, we can do something with this. He is not being used properly. And when we get our hands on him, we let him do his thing. We start to convince him, and all of a sudden teams and organizations like Cleveland, like Tampa, they have, the resume as far as the pitching side of things go. They have, the track record where these pitchers, when they go to those particular organizations, they automatically, most of the time, are already buying in because they've seen what they've done with other guys. So they see something in this kid that they feel like they can really maximize and get a ton of value for him. There's no question.
Well, and you're 100% right. And it's so funny on that end, because you're right, the Rays do the exact same thing, and the Guardians will do it, and a couple other teams around the league are the same way, and you guys with the Jeffrey Springs trade on top of that. I mean, talk about a guy that you guys identified, and then basically we're like, well, let's get him into the pitching lab, and let's hook him up to the slow-motion TrackMan Repsoto, let's get all the spin rates, let's do all that stuff, and realize that if we move his release point up a 2 degrees, and like all of this insane stuff that they're in, all of a sudden these guys just become insane, and they're so darn good. And it's just because of that little tweak, or hey, move your finger over here and put more pressure on your middle finger instead of your index finger. Like, it's just nuts how they do this, man.
It really is. And what allows them to be able to do that is the feedback that comes in real time. You know, we would go out and throw bullpens, and you had a pitching coach, a trained major league pitching coach with his eye on you, and he could see things and make little adjustments, but this is real-time info, like you said, right down to the pressure point of a finger and the finger placement on a baseball. And does that make the spin efficient enough? Because all of this stuff can be measured. And so you're right. You can change a little bit of the pressure on a particular finger. You can move the finger. You can cock the wrist. You can do a lot of different things in real time that allow you to change the shapes and the spin of these pitches. And that's why it has become such a pitching-dominated game. Goes back to your point, that means that guys that can hit 30-plus home runs on a regular basis should be more valuable, because the offense is so difficult to come by nowadays.
You'd think, man, it's unbelievable. Brian Anderson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, BA, then the guards turn around and they bring back an old friend in Carlos Santana, who is 38 years old and continues to just be, I mean, he's like a metronome. You know, he is a metronome for a guy who's a low average with a high walk rate, doesn't strike out a boatload, plays gold glove defense, and he'll hit you 20 bombs. And it's so interesting, because they kind of took the cash that they were going to give Josh Naylor and what was projected to give Josh Naylor and just gave it to Carlos Santana on a one-year deal. I'm still trying to wrap my head around just the whole like mindset behind this. What do you think? Is it maybe like they, looking at the defensive side, or looking at the fact that Carlos Santana is just a metronome and that everybody knows him and he's just consistent? What do you think would cause them to make a move like that?
I think it's all of the above. I think it's the consistency factor. I think that it's the on-base factor. You know, that is such a huge part of today's game, because batting average is not what it used to be. You know, it's just not what it used to be. Guys don't hit. Not a lot of guys hit for a high average. But if you can combine walks and all of a sudden be able to go out there and have a very high on-base percentage, at the same time be able to pop 20, 25 home runs, be outstanding in the clubhouse, give you outstanding defense on top of it. Listen, these teams, we talk about wanting to be able to score runs. That's great. But a lot of them, too, focus just as heavily on run prevention. And not only is that pitching, but that's defense. So if you can, and they put values on all of these different things, and that creates then a profile of a player where if you can give me a 360 on-base percentage, hit me 23 home runs, play, you know, very, very good, outstanding defense where you're, you know, above, well above replacement value defensively, that all of a sudden makes you this type of player, and that's extremely valuable, especially if it's a team that prioritizes that. And so that's how all of these decisions are made. And you know what? On the surface, a lot of them don't make a ton of sense to the general public. But you look and you're like, why? And you know, sometimes it's obvious, whatever. But other times you wonder. But the people upstairs that are making these decisions, they have their formulas, they have their ways, and if they are continually able to maximize a guy's attributes, and if they continually can go out and win ball games, make the postseason, then you have to start to trust them, because that's the way that the game is managed now, whether you like it or not.
All right, buddy. I'm going to do something you're going to yell at me for later. You are more than welcome to curse me out via text, because you can't do it any year because I only have 30 seconds of dump.
Got it.
The Browns right now are at a crossroads, right? So basically, yeah. You can either go full-blown Wile E. Coyote with the TNT and just dynamite this whole thing down to the dirt and start from scratch. Or you can try to thread the needle, find a veteran quarterback that's around there somewhere, maybe tinker the offense a little bit with Kevin Stefanski or bring in somebody different, and try to make the playoffs next year, knowing darn well that you're going to have Deshaun Watson wandering around and maybe not being a part of it. Which path do you pick, BA?
Thread the needle. There's still too much talent here to blow it up right now. I think you try and thread the needle. You give it one more go, and if that doesn't happen, then that situation is probably going to take care of itself. But I would absolutely hope that they thread the needle.
So have you seen all the stuff walking or around of like Myles Garrett coming out and saying like,
oh yeah,
boys, I'd like a plan if possible. And then yesterday, yeah, Denzel Ward comes out and goes, boys, if you're going to give him the plan, I'd like to see it too, if needed. And then even Joel Petonio going, I need a plan, Jets.
Yeah. Listen, because here's the other thing that tells you that much like, you know, probably a lot of people feel, if they felt that DTR was the answer, they wouldn't be asking for a plan. So that right there,
point.
I think it is an indictment on
that's a really good
quarterbacking
point.
Right now. Because if they get to see him in practice every single day. They get to see him out there on Sunday. If they thought he was the answer, they wouldn't be asking for what's the plan going forward. So that right there, you can take it as an indictment on DTR. On top of that, that is also letting the front office know, we think we can do this, but we want to see what you have in mind. Again, they want to try to thread the needle too, which they should. They want to be there. They want to be in Cleveland, but they also want to win. So, yeah, I read all of that, and I saw them coming out one after the other, and I'm like, this is a team that believes they can still do it, but they want to have a pretty good idea about it. And, oh, by the way, they must not think whoever's in the quarterback room right now is going to be able to get it done.
From a professional athlete standpoint, when you see somebody with the kind of pull that Myles Garrett has come out to the media and say what he says, what does that do to everybody in that locker room?
I think it emboldens them. I think it emboldens them, and they realize that they have a leader. The thing that I like about it, you know, you see a lot of guys come out and making big demands and wanting to know this and tell me that. And I'm, you know, Myles did it in the most respectful way you could do it. He sent a clear message, but he didn't do it as a diva. He did it as a, hey, I love Cleveland. I want to retire a Brown, but I also want to win, and I feel like we can. What's the plan? You know, he did add an element of public pressure to the front office, but at the same time, he did it in the most undiva-like way. He was very respectful in his comments and very respectful of the organization and the city and you know, and proclaiming, I want to be here. I want to be a Brown for life. I mean, he couldn't have done it any better. Now we'll see what the response is.
BA, you're the man. Thank you for the time. I appreciate you doing this. It's good to talk to you as always. And we'll be talking on Sunday.
Hey, listen, we may be talking tomorrow. We got Nebraska-Boston College.
Oh, that's right.
Baby, in the Pinstripe Bowl. First time since 2016 they've made a bowl. I've never been so excited for a 6-6 team in my life.
Dude, you got I love your QB. I think the sky's the limit for Raiola. I really do.
No, there is no question about it. And the fact that he came up, you know, he basically was raised through the Detroit Lions organization around Matthew Stafford and everything else because of his dad, you know, playing for such a long time. Great kid, You know, listen, the sky is the limit. He's got a real good chance of someday playing on Sundays, but, you know, they've been scrambling to get help for him through the portal. We'll see. But yeah, he's got all the talent in the world, and I'll get to see him one more time tomorrow.
You like the portal where it is right now, or do you want to move this thing?
No, you'd love to move it. You know, I heard them talking about it on one of the college football shows, and I think it might have been the commissioner, and he was saying that, you know, when you're in these bowls, the portal is still, you don't have to go early. You know, you see a lot of these teams that are even in the college football playoff, players have jumped into the portal. And the guy was like, look, the portal is open for you until you are knocked out. So until you get knocked out, you have another, whatever it is, 5 or 7 days to be in the portal. The reality of it, though, is these kids that may be looking to transfer and the teams that want them are putting pressure on them. Like, well, we can't wait. If you go all the way to the end, we can't wait that long. I know the portal's still open for you, but it's not necessarily open for us. We need a decision now. And that's why you're seeing these kids jump out, even on teams that have a chance to win a national title. And you have to hate that. You know, I think the portal system right now, the way that it is, think about if it was free agency for every player in every sport every year. That's what it basically is in college football, and it's made it absolute chaos. And so I don't like it the way it is. I don't know exactly how you fix it. I haven't sat down, even attempted to try to figure that out. That's for people with much higher pay grade than I am when it comes to that kind of stuff. But as it is right now, it is the wild, wild west. I think we see that every day.
All right, so here's my half-baked idea on this, which is I want to move this thing to Memorial Day weekend. And the reason I pick Memorial Day is, A, you've got a bit of a lull in the sports calendar. You've got golf going on. You got baseball. You got a little bit of NBA playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But you are after finals. And so then that way these guys are locked in and we can still fulfill the school obligations because they are still in school. But we can get out of the end of finals and then open the portal and you can dominate that whole week because there's nothing else going on besides baseball, NBA, and golf. What do you think?
I love how you're like, there's nothing going on in the sports world. You got baseball. Forget that.
Well, you and I are hooked on this thing. I mean, I'm not worried us. Like,
listen, that at the end of the day, that's the best idea for the transfer portal that I've heard today. So let's go with it. Let's go with it and see where it leads.
All right, beautiful, man. Take care of yourself. Happy holidays to you and the family. Hope the kids are still rolling in all their gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy New Year to you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Happy New Year too, buddy. He is Brian Anderson. He is the best friend of the show, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I love when you get guests that you try to get off the air, and they end up derailing to talk other things, and you're like, you know what? We're doing this. BA wants to talk Nebraska? Damn it, we're talking Nebraska. That's the way that the world's going to work today. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. I want to get into what he had to say on Josh Naylor, and I wanted to get on the guards and everything that I heard over Christmas involving Josh Naylor. We'll give away a couple Christmas presents along the way. We'll grind a few gears along there, too. And Kevin Stefanski joins from Berea 1:30 today. But first, 2020 with Anthony.